last 5 hours of the program. So we're going to conclude the study that we did tomorrow evening. And today, we have a study from chapter 34. As what we mentioned before, chapter 1 through 32 is the judgment of the Israelites as well as the 40 nations. So chapter 1 to chapter 32 is the revelation of divine character of justice. And chapter 33 to chapter 48 is the hope of restoration and spiritual renewal of the Israel. And it's mentioned about the mercy and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. Now today we are going to study the 33 words. Let's see chapter 33. Chapter 33, Ezekiel was appointed as a watchman again. And what was the difference between the watchman here and the watchman in the beginning of chapter 3? What's the difference? The watchman in the chapter 37 and chapter 33 is a watchman of compassion. Because this is the beginning of a new era. After the sin of the Israelites had been confronted and have been revenged. And the duty of the watchman. Verse 1, chapter 30, verse 1. The words of the Lord come to me, son of man, speak to your countrymen and say to them, when I bring the sword against a land, and the people of the land chose one of their men and make him their watchman. And he sees the sword coming against the land and blow the trumpet to warn the people. If anyone hears the trumpet but does not take warning, and the sword come and take his life, his blood will be on his own hand. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning, his blood shall be on his own hand. So the duty of the watchman is to blow the trumpet, to warn the Israelite the coming dangers. But if the watchman failed to blow the trumpet, to warn the Israelite, and Israelite died in their own sin, according to verse 8. And then the watchman will be held accountable by God. Okay. Verse 9, if you want the wicked to turn away from the evil way, and he did not follow, he is going to die in his own sin, but you will save yourself. Okay. So this is the duty of the watchman. So, spiritually speaking, in the church, we need to have a watchman. We are not only preach the gospel that God loves you, there will be abundant of blessing of God. We are not only preaching the message of God's love. We also mention that God is God of justice. If we purposely try to live a life God astray from the teaching of the Bible, then we are going to face the justice of God. So sin can never be hidden in the name of God's mercy. No. So the watchman is very important. So sometimes we hear some message, actually in the message, a very stern warning to warn us to depart from the sin. So this is the duty of the watchman. And verse 10 to verse 11, we talk about what did God delight. Verse 10. Son of man, say to the house of Israel, this is what you are saying. Our offenses and sin wear us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we be? Verse 11. Say to them, as surely as I live, declare the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure on the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their way and live. Turn from your evil way. Why will you die, O house of Israel? So verse 11 actually is a call for action. Since God is a God who treats everybody according to their way of life, God is a God of revenge, retribution. So why not turn and repent and leave? Why should you die in your sin? So this is a very important message for every one of us. If you get involved with a sinful life pattern, you must turn, you must repent as soon as possible before it's too late. God will never delight it because of your death. That was not God's the original intention to create a human being. God created a human being so that God can bless the person and the person can glorify his name. When a person commits sin, the person comes short of the glory of God. So God will never like to see the sinner perish. So another way, the watchman can refer to every family. Actually, a family is a small unit of church. So a family consists of four people, five people. It's a small church. So the family needs to have a watchman to watch over the spiritual welfare of that family. We always see that in the church, if there are 200 membership, maybe the 200 membership consists of 100 families. If you count the church directory, right? A church in the size of 200 maybe consists of 80, 90, or 100 families. So if every family had a watchman, always watch over the spiritual condition of that family, and always pray for the spiritual condition of that family, I tell you, the church will be very strong. But if every family, there is no watchman, all rely on the church to take care of the family members' spiritual welfare, and you are going to see the church is going to consume a lot of resources in taking care of the spiritual welfare of the members. It's not going to have any energy left to do the evangelical work. So one day you are going to build up your own family. One thing that's very important is family should be more important than your career. Do you know in the book of Genesis, when Esau, Isaac moved to Beersheba, what did he do? In Genesis, when Isaac moved to Beersheba, what did he do? Anybody? Okay, what was the first thing? Genesis chapter 26, verse 25. The first is to build an altar. The second is to pitch a tent. And the third is to dig a well. Isaac did represent three types of life. The first is the spiritual life, to build an altar to call upon the name of God. The second is pitch a tent, for the family. It's a family life. The third one, dig a well to feed the water, to the sheep, cattle with the water. That is the career life. So you look into a balanced life must consist of these three contents. Spiritual life, family life, and career life. And these three lives should be prioritized. Godly life first, family life second, and career life third. So even in the United States, especially in the big city, East Coast as well as West Coast, it's so busy. It's so busy, almost consume all your time and energy. Try to fulfill the duty in your company, in your job. So a lot of people have no energy and time left for family, not even to mention about their spiritual advancement. So as what we mentioned, I heard when I went to the Bay Area, I saw everybody so busy. And I counted, there are four people right now, there are four people had cancer. All different kind of cancer. In previous year, so many incidents happened. All of a sudden, the young man died, older man died. And God in so dramatic way tried to teach the members a lesson. When you are so engaged in your pursuit of the success in the world, are you really know what you are doing? Are you really know the goal of your life? So a lot of people was lost in their career pursuit. So while you are young, I think we have to set out our mind, build up a good concept of value. So once you graduate from school, you know what you do. Otherwise, you are going to get lost. When everybody in that so busy life try to achieve certain type of success in the world, very easily you will be influenced. You will be affected, and you will follow the trend. So the watchman is very important. In the church, we keep on preaching the warning. Of course, everybody like to listen, oh, God bless you, right? God will give you strength, God will give you energy, so that you can walk better. Everybody likes to listen that kind of message. But that kind of message is only half of the message, God's total message. Yeah. God feeds us with milk, but God will feed us with solid food too. So the watchman should preach a warning. If your life is too busy to a point, you have no time to pray, you have no heart to pray. If your life is too busy to a point, you have no time reserved for your family, then your life already has a yellow light, warning light. If you continue to live that kind of life, definitely spiritually, you are going to face a lot of danger. And your family life is going to have a lot of danger. Maybe you will be successful in your career, but maybe your marriage will break up. Your children will become bad children because nobody discipline them. So the warning, the watchman nowadays, is referring to the watchman in the church as well as in a family. It's very important. Every family needs to have a watchman. Watch over them and pray for them. Every church, we need to have a watchman to warn them and to watch over them and to pray for them. 33. God will never delight to see the wicked die. He wants everybody to live. That was the intention of God's creation. And verse 17, chapter 33, verse 17. Yet your countrymen say, the way of the Lord is not just, but it is their way that is not true. That is not just. So, there are two ways in front of us. One way is our own way. The other way is Lord's way. So when we try to judge fair or unfair, by which standard we are going to use? By our standard? By our standard we try to judge, you are going to see a lot of things is unfair. Right? How come that member so fervent and have been doing so much holy work? And that member died in a very tragic way, right? And another member loving the world and did not come to the church often, even in a very advanced age, and earn a lot of money and enjoy all the luxuries. Right? If we try to use our own way, you are going to see a lot of unfair things happen. So the only one way to convince us that God is fair is because we try to measure everything, look at everything from God's perspective, from measured by God's way. So in the book of Psalm, I think it's 84, 78, when the people look at what happens surrounding him, he feels so unfair. So he almost stumbled in his spiritual pursuit. If there is God, how come these kind of things happen? Not until he went into the temple of God and he think about the final judgment, and he was convinced everything is fair. Now, some people, God repay the person while he is alive. And some, God is going to repay after his death. So eventually, everybody is going to fail before God's judgment. So when we think about something is fair, unfair, or first we have to think about from what perspective we look at this matter. From what standard we try to judge whether it's fair or unfair. The best way is from God's standard. We human beings, we are nothing. And chapter 33, from verse 21 onwards, somebody escaped from Jerusalem and conveyed a message that Jerusalem has been ruined. The city has been broken. That was the 12 years after Ezekiel has been under captivity. So that day, the words of God come to him. And verse 24. So verse 24 reminded once again why these kinds of things happen. That because of their sin. Verse 28. Chapter 33, verse 28. And I will make the land a desolation waste, and her proud strength will come to an end. And the mountain of the Israel will become desolate, so that no one will cross them. The proud of his strength will come to the end. So they have nothing to be proud of because the wrath of God has come to them. And verse 30 onwards, okay, let's see 31. How did the Israelites treat God in their life? My people come to you, come to the prophet, as they usually do, and sit before you listening your words, listening the words of the prophet, and the prophet try to convey the message of God to them. But they do not put them into practice. Which means they try to be identical with the message of the prophet theoretically, theologically. But in the practical life, they did not do any, they did not take any action. Why? Because if you theologically agree with the preaching, you don't have to pay any price. But if you try to change your life to be identical with the message, you have to pay a price. That is the reason they like to listen, but they don't want to take action. Because to take action, you need to have an extra sacrifice. For example, keeping the Sabbath, offering the tithe. That is the most vivid example. I believe every church member all understand the truth of doing the Sabbath and offering the tithes. But if you look into the church directory, if there is a 200 members in church, usually the attendance rate of the Sabbath service is about what? 60%, 120. Another 40% either still at work or didn't come to the church. They just have fun outside. They understood it. But how come they didn't want to observe the Sabbath? because they have to sacrifice their income. They have to sacrifice the pleasure of the flesh. So they know it, but they are not going to change it. The same with the tithe. What kind of member are the most difficult member to offer the tithe? And it's not the member who receives the salary. No. The one who earned a lot of money is the one face the most difficulty to offer the tithe. Why? Because when you earn a lot of money, you look into the amount of tithe you have to offer. It's a big amount. Alright? So it's very difficult to offer the tithe. And forgotten what? After you deduct the tithe, the surplus God gives to you is more than anybody else. So the Israelites, they like to listen, but they did not want to take the action. Verse 31. My people come to you as they usually do, and sit here. They like to listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice. With their mouths, they express devotion. What do they mean with their mouth? They express devotion. Whilst you are singing the hymn, right? You're preaching, Jesus, I love you, right? Especially the new songs, continue, repeat the same one sentence for 30 minutes. All right, Jesus, love you. The wise try to use that kind of melody to inspire yourself, to numb yourself. Jesus, love you. But after the hymn singing, let's clean the chapel. Let's clean the toilet. Are you going to wait to do that? Right? So our mouth expresses devotion while we are singing the hymn, while we are engaging in the conversation. But our heart, their heart is greedy for the unjust gain, because they are unwilling to sacrifice, to cut off from the unjust gain, which means their belief is only in their mind, not in their life. Okay, now what happened? 33. When all this come true, the prophecy come true, the fire from above will destroy the holy temple and holy city come true. It surely will. And then they will know that the prophet has been among them. Why? Because all the prophecy will be fulfilled. So they know this is a true prophet sent by the Lord. Not like that false prophet give a lot of comfort message, but it eventually it turned out all their prophecy is not true. How can we receive the blessing of God? There are two important ways. You can try. The first one, every day, you spend long time praying to be filled by the Holy Spirit. The first one. The second one, you try to practice every lesson you learn from the Bible. If you do in these two ways, next year when you come to NYT, you are going to have a lot of testimony to share with everybody. If we only hear the words of God without doing it, it's good, but cannot bring us too much blessing. 34 is the shepherd and the sheep. According to Mark chapter 6, when Jesus came out of the boat, he saw so many people has rushed before him to the shore and waiting for him. What did Jesus do? When Jesus saw so many people waiting for him, what did Jesus do? How did Jesus feel? Mark chapter 6, verse 34. How did Jesus feel? He had feel compassion. Why? They are like the sheep without shepherd. Can you imagine a sheep without shepherd? What is going to happen? The first, when the wolves come, right? When the wild beasts come, who protect them? Nobody protect them. The second, when the sheep got astray, who bring them back? Nobody bring them back. The third, when the sheep falling from the cliff, wounded, who heal them? nobody hear them. The fifth, when the sheep run out the water or green pastures, who guide them to the green pasture and the river? Nobody do that. Oh. So a sheep without shepherd is a pitiful sheep. It's only waiting to gone astray. It's waiting to be devoured by the wild beast. And who were the sheep without shepherd? Actually, 34 talk about, and they were the Israelites. Because at that time, there was no true shepherd. Okay, verse 2, chapter 34, verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherd of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the servant Lord says. Woe to the prophet of shepherd of Israel, who only take care of themselves, should not shepherd take care of the flock. 3, you eat the curds, clothe yourself with a wolf and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. Now, so verse 3 onwards, the shepherd did not fulfill their duty. And chapter 4, verse 4, you have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the stray, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So the shepherd did not fulfill your duty. And when they get lost, you to become the food of the animal. You did not go and looking for them. Verse 5. So what is going to happen? Verse 7. Verse 9. What is going to happen to the shepherd? Therefore, the shepherd, hear the words of the Lord. This is what the servant Lord said. I am against the shepherd and will hold them accountable for my flock. So any flock gone lost is devoured by the animal. The shepherd will be held accountable. And who was the shepherd in that generation? The prophet. The worker of God. So nowadays, the shepherd can be referring to the worker of God. God's been entrusted to his worker to take care of the sheep. So you can, from the very narrow sense of view, the shepherd actually talking about the ordained minister, right? The preacher, the elder, and deacon is the shepherd. But from the wide scope of view, who is the shepherd? When you are appointed as an RE teacher, all right? You are teaching in the E2 class or J1 class or J2 class. You are not appointed to teach like a visiting professor. You bring the textbook there and give a lesson for 50 minutes and finish, then you're gone. And then you have nothing to do with me. I already preached a warning to you, right? You have nothing to do with me. When you die, you are responsible for your own death. Well, not that way. When you are appointed as a RE teacher in that class, you are the shepherd of that class. You have to take care of them for the week, you have to pray for them, for those who got astray. You have to spend time to bring them back. For this, those who are wounded, you have to do what? Do your best to heal them. Also, everyone, in more or less, we bear the responsibility of being a shepherd. One day you become a parent, then all the children will become a sheep if you are the shepherd. So when a sheep perish spiritually in a family, the parent cannot say, I have no responsibility. No parent can say so. I have no responsibility. Because parents are the shepherd of the family. So if everyone fulfill a certain degree of the duty as a shepherd, then the pastoring sheep in the church, the pastoring work in the church can be well done. Okay, now, verse 11, chapter 34, verse 11 onwards, is talk about the Lord Jesus Christ himself will become the shepherd him. So we have the great shepherd, and this shepherd is together with us everything, anywhere, whenever, wherever, whatever happens. The shepherd is always with you. Verse 11. Well, this is what the servant of the Lord said, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from the places where they were scattered on the day of cloud and the darkness. So God said, I'm going to bring them back. Verse 13. I will bring them out of the nation and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. So what does that mean? God is going to be the shepherd of the chosen people under captivity. God is going to take care of them while they were in exile in Babylon. And eventually God is going to bring them back to the promised land. That was the duty of the big shepherd. God is going to take care of them, because God has promised them to take care of them. Verse 15. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down and declare the sovereign law. I will search for the lost and bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy, and I will shepherd the flock with justice. And how come the sleek and the strong God will destroy? Why? Okay, the answer is verse 18. It is not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is not enough for you to drink clear water, must you also muddy the rest of the feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? So that's the reason those who are strong will be destroyed. Which means, in the time of Ezekiel, a lot of false prophets, they are like a strong. They will be eliminated. God will get rid of them. Okay, so verse 20 onwards, God is going to exercise judgment upon the sheep. Some of the sheep will be saved, and some of the sheep will be destroyed because of God's judgment. 25 to the end of the chapter is a prophecy. It's a prophecy that there will be a hill full of blessing. And what does the prophecy mean? If we can understand one verse, then you are going to understand what the prophecy means. Verse 26. Verse 26, I will bless them and place surrounding my hill, I will send down shower of season. There will be shower of blessing. Okay. So what does shower of blessing mean spiritually? What does shower of blessing mean spiritually? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit like a shower of rain. So when Holy Spirit descends in the world, God is abiding in the world with us. When we are filled by the Holy Spirit, we will be filled with the blessing of God. So Acts chapter 1 is a promise of the pouring down of Holy Spirit. And Acts chapter 2, they receive the Holy Spirit. And the end of Acts chapter 2, you see everyone receive the blessing of God. They are rejoicing every day because they receive the blessing of God every day. So how can we receive more blessing? We have to pray the shower of blessing can come down to us. been filled by the Holy Spirit, and God abides in us, and every day we are going to experience all different kind of blessings. So this hill is going to enjoy shower of blessing. And God is going to make the covenant with the people in this hill. And this hill represents what? Represent the true church, the apostolic church. Actually, in the last day, represent true Jesus church. The shower of blessing is coming. So you come here, you pray for the Holy Spirit, you pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you are going to experience abundant blessing of God. I traveled to Australia in 1980s. I met a brother. He migrated to Australia in the 80s. And he told me a wonderful story. In the beginning, when he was in Australia, he did not do anything. So one of the military visited that church and found out he had nothing to do and encouraged him. Every day, you just read the Bible and pray together with your wife for 1 hour.